Welcome. We have another episode. It's very exciting. Okay, this episode is about Mila and Christian. So this wedding is cool for a couple of reasons. I mean, Mila and Christian are funny and quirky, so their wedding was funny and quirky. But also, it was a blended family because Christian has kids from a former relationship. So I just love the way that they included the kids, and I really wanted to talk about that, and I wanted to share that with you. And it was also a daytime wedding, which I think is a fun, clever way to kind of do things a little bit differently. So I'm going to let Mila and Christian tell you all about who they are, why they did what they did, and how they incorporated family into their beautiful wedding. I'm Shayna, and I am super excited because this is the very first episode of the Post-Wedding Podcast. I'm here with Mila and Christian, and today we are talking about their wedding because that is what we do here. So welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
We're warming up.
Okay. I tried to prep Mila and Christian a little bit, but then I had all these ideas. So hopefully I don't put them through the ringer too much with the questions that I ask.
Uh-oh, I know your ideas, Dana.
What I want to start with.
Trying to throw a curveball.
We should let her talk.
We'll try to go one at a time here. I was going to have you introduce yourselves, but I actually want you to introduce each other. So who is this person that you married? Maybe like a little fun fact, and then, you know, why you decided to marry them. Go for it, Mila.
Why what? We lost you a bit.
Why you wanted to marry them.
Oh, yeah. That. Christian, you go first, because I want to be able to retaliate.
So if I understand correctly, I'm introducing Mila as Mila?
Yes.
And then yes. Why? But then at the end, it's why I... Christian.
Well, no, you're not pretending to be me. You're just introducing me like you're an MC.
Like an MC. Okay. This is Mila. She is a crazy, wonderful person who has traveled the world ranging from Europe to Russia, has multiple degrees, and she is a crazy, crazy nutball just like me.
That's true. Is that why you love me?
Yes.
Christian is the person around who, this is Christian, and he is the person around whom I can be completely myself. And as Shayna knows, I have my quirky side, so that's kind of nice. I mean, that's the main reason I love him. He's a good person. We laugh together all the time. We have our own language sometimes, and it just kind of works.
I mean, I was at your wedding, and I don't know if I've ever heard you be that sweet to each other.
I know.
That's true.
So
we weren't even that sweet at the wedding.
Well, you were actually, but so when did you guys get married?
October 13th, 2018.
Okay, so not even 6 months yet, right?
Nope.
So you are newlyweds, as they say.
Yes, we are, but we've been living together for a while, so we already know those stories.
So I hope this question doesn't throw you for a loop. I've been asking this to all my clients lately, and it's something I'm really interested. I know you just told me basically why you got married, but I'm curious why you decided to celebrate your marriage with a wedding. So was it kind of like a foregone conclusion? You always wanted to have one? Or, you know, was it something that you really had to think about? Were you on the same page about it? That kind of thing. Why a wedding?
I would like Christian to go first because I'd like to know what he thinks about this. I have my answer, but...
I feel like I'm being set up to get slugged.
No, you're not. No, he thinks I'm setting it up. No, he thinks I'm setting him up to slug him after we hang up.
Well, all right. I will try to field this one.
Well, I'm going to field it too, but I want you to go first.
All right. Okay. So why a wedding and not something else? The story actually goes back to when I had moved from Minnesota back to New Hampshire, or to New Hampshire rather, not back, but to New Hampshire. There was, I noticed on the trip to work, there was this wonderful building that was being built. And I watched it as it grew and then realized that it became a winery. And it looked fantastic from the outside. And I passed it like every day for almost like a year. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm not exactly sure when or why or for what purpose, but that would be a fantastic place to have a great celebration with family and friends. So now we fast forward to getting married, looking at various venues. That was the place that I had chosen in my mind. So that was the reasons why I wanted a wedding at that particular venue. And I will stop talking now.
And I wanted a wedding because I wanted everyone to come to me, frankly. I wanted a party. I wanted to see family and friends that I can't see. I mean, and there's marrying this guy, of course, but it's also bringing everyone together in a way that is hard to do in any other way. So, and I wanted a dress that I could twirl. Okay, that's not true. The dress wasn't a big deal, but once I could twirl in it, I loved it. But no, it's more the party, and because I've moved around a lot, and you know, we have family all over, and this way we got to see a lot of people and celebrate them with them, and people we don't get to see very often.
I love that. I hear that answer a lot. I think that's bringing people together is really like one of the most, I don't know, like it's just a really great reason to throw this party. But Christian, you kind of got me in the feels a little bit with that. Like you kind of saw it before it even was coming. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So, okay. Now we know a little bit more. So tell me about the wedding, you know, just a little summary of the vibe and the energy. And
do you want me to, or do you want to, why are you laughing?
No, you go. I'll you go and then I'll kick in. Editorial comment after you're done.
Awesome.
As needed.
Well, basically, we wanted a good party. It wasn't about having this perfect thing. We wanted people to come and have fun without feeling pressure to do certain things. We didn't want people to come in jeans, but we didn't want them to feel like they had to be, you know, super, super dressed up. We wanted a mashed potato bar. We wanted it to be the way we wanted it, really. So, what was the question?
Just tell me a little about it. But I want to jump in because, I mean, based on what you described, you hit it out of the park. Like, I was thinking about your wedding before this podcast, and I was like, okay, it was beautiful, but it was also super approachable, and it was a little bit cheeky, like it was a little funny and it was fun and there was a lot of dancing, and like I loved the photo booth, and so does that kind of mesh with what you were going for?
We wanted it to be fun and not, like, you'll notice we stripped out all of those, or a lot of the routine things people say you have to do, and honestly, looking back, such as bouquet toss, I mean, I'm, as a woman who's had to stand there and feel like an idiot for the stupid bouquet, I wasn't going to do that anyway. But a lot of those things, like there was no cake slicing. In fact, the only cake we had was for our bobbleheads, and the rest were sliced in the kitchen. I didn't want to worry about some expensive fancy cake. I didn't want to spend money on that. We wanted good food. We wanted good music. The photographer was very important to me since I'm an amateur photographer. And again, the room, we were at LaBelle Winery in Amherst, New Hampshire. and it's just a beautiful room. And I didn't know this ahead of time, but they really took care of us. So just all of those things. Yeah. And people kept asking me, especially the bridal party was pretty small. And, you know, the mother, Christian's mother, kept saying, well, what do I wear? I'm like, I really don't care. Just let me know the color so I can make sure it clashed. And no one believed me. They kept waiting for the bridezilla. I'm like, I really don't care. What do you feel good in? So that's what we wanted. Easy, not stressful.
So I'm hearing that you felt awkward standing waiting for that bouquet. Like, it sounds like what you really wanted was for people to feel good and comfortable and easy and not stressed. And
well, the bouquet in particular kind of brings out my feminist kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Why should I need to wait for some bouquet to tell me I'm going to get married? And is that the thing I have to wait for? So that particular routine kind of gets my goat, but yeah,
I'm with you there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you want to add color commentary?
Yes, I do, as a matter
of fact. Oh my God, he wants to.
Yes, I do. I think the feel, I mean, Mila explained it pretty well, but I guess to add another viewpoint to it, it really was in our designing the wedding, not only from the ceremony all the way down to, the end of the wedding and how we exited the venue, which we'll eventually get to. So
that was fun.
We really went through and like we knew that there were, you know, you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do this and this and so forth. And we really went through it with a machete, and we just literally cut through all of the red tape around those things that we were supposed to do. We kept in those things that we really loved, and we added in things that we loved, but stripped everything else out from a standard ceremony standpoint, so that really it was an expression of who we are, not only as two individuals, but also as a couple. And that's what we hope that we were sharing with the rest of the family and friends that attended.
Yeah, and not everything went exactly to plan, but there was nothing that was the end of the world. I know what you're thinking, Christian, but there were other things that didn't go to plan either.
Hey, we'll get to that, whatever that is.
Oh, you know what it is.
Oh, there was.
It was right at the beginning.
It was, and it just continued on.
Shut up.
It was just.
I'm sorry, since she shut up on recording, so please be quiet.
Well, just to, I really like, I was when Christian, when you were talking, you were getting all the like snaps and hells yes from me silently, because I loved that verbiage of like cutting through it with a machete. I'm gonna steal that if you don't mind.
Please.
With my clients. Okay, cool. Yeah, and just sticking to what you truly love. I think that's so awesome. And I feel like you guys, okay, we'll get to the what went wrong, we'll get to a couple of things, but you had a lot of just little touches. And one thing though I definitely want to talk about is you guys are coming into this with, I don't know if it's the right term, but like a blended family. So Christian has kids from a previous relationship. That's obviously a huge part of your relationship. I'm curious if you can talk a little bit about how that shaped what you decided to do and what you included, and get as specific as you'd like.
Do you want to start or do you want me to start? I have lots of thoughts on this.
Oh, you do?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I thought through this carefully. But I was the one who organized most of it, so that's why. It's true.
And with,
it's true.
And with that dig, I'll hand the microphone over to you, dear.
The kids were important, but at the same time, this was about us. So I wanted to make sure the kids felt included and that we considered children in, you know, like we had a table for children. Without sugar. I saw something on Pinterest where the table for children was all sugar, and I'm like, are you crazy? But we had like little games and little toys and, you know, pinwheels and stuff like that so they could go over. But again, it was about us. I wanted to make sure it was a day for us, especially in this, I think currently in society, there's so much focus on children that you have to take care of them. And we had people taking care of the kids, obviously, and they weren't in a closet or anything. But we want to make sure they felt included. So we did a sand ceremony where they all came up, or wherever we each took a color sand and we poured it in, and then we stirred it with the Harry Potter wand. Yes, Christian.
Can I please interject, dear?
Yes.
That was what was planned. What actually happened?
It happened. Just
came, comes back. So that's more fun. We're building up excitement for what's going to happen. What actually happened with that? All right. So now I'm going to let you go back to it. I'm going to be quiet as a mouse.
Do you want to not do? I was going to.
You were. You're. Rolling
I was
going to
mention that. I am. Well, anyway. Basically, what happened what there is we're all supposed to take our colored sand. We'd chosen them ahead of time, and when Kenzie came up, she came barreling up, grabbed the first color sand she saw and poured it in, and Aiden was like, hey, that's mine. But he actually took it in stride. So that was one of the things. But basically, so we wanted to include them. Aiden was the best man, so he could be included in that way. And I think you have to be sure, especially with younger kids, that you have a backup plan for them. Because originally we planned for Kenzie to be the flower girl. And then she started freaking out about having people look at her. And she said, I don't want to do it, which kind of led to our mothers being the flower girls together. And we had a basket just in case Kenzie wanted to walk with them. And at the very last minute, she decided, which was kind of fun. But that's how we included them.
Your kids and your mothers were the flower girls.
Yes. And
I love that.
And Christian's father was the ring bearer. We had a little box that said ring security, and he's a bit of a ham. So he walked down the aisle showing it to people.
Oh, so speaking of family and parents, so you talked about how you went through this with a machete and you picked the things that were important to you. Were there any family members who had any resistance to anything that you did, who disagreed? And I want to talk about this in a constructive way, if at all possible.
Well, it's going to be very constructive because I can't think of any problem.
Oh.
Yeah, in a freaky way, our families get along really well. In fact, we went on vacation where both sets of parents were there, and Christian and I and the kids could have left and they would have been fine. They wouldn't have noticed if we left, I don't think. So we're kind of lucky that way. I'm also kind of a strong personality. So I think people
No, dear. No.
So I'm kind of used to people are used to me saying this is how it's going to be. So that may be a part of it. But honestly, no. I mean, we all the worst thing I remember is like his mother saying, are you sure you don't want to dictate? I'm like, no. You do.
Are you sure you don't want what?
Sorry. Are you sure you don't want me to wear a certain color dress or?
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm. She was more comfortable with the lack of you must do this type thing.
That's interesting. Do you think that you have any? I mean, because you're also a project manager, you're saying you have a strong personality. Do you feel like there's like a secret sauce that you could pass on to people to like help them manage resistance when it comes up, or you're just lucky in that way?
Well, I mean, there is a certain mentality that goes to that. And so for me, I had spreadsheets and they were coded and, you know, I was keeping track of who, you know, it answered and who I'd sent out things and it kind of went across in a continuum. So I don't know if everyone can do that. There are tools out there that could help you. And I think the Knot has some tools like that as well. And you're going to do what it is. I think it's just don't freak out if things aren't perfect because no one has a perfect wedding. The one thing I would say is on the day, if you could have someone, you know, we had it at LaBelle from LaBelle. They had an event planner type who's taking care of everything. And then there was one person who was assigned to just Christian and I. And it doesn't have to be like that, but just someone who can run the day for you because there's no way you can pay attention to everything because it's a whirlwind. So I don't know if there's
a secret. The planning experience that you have.
Yeah. Even with all the planning experience, because it's your wedding. I think if you'd really resent it if you had to run it too.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's hard to step back and enjoy if you're worried about, you know, what's happening when and if everyone's in the right place. And you can't really manage things when they go wrong, especially if you're trying not to see your partner or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, you're limited. So you alluded to things going wrong. And I feel like it was a great segue into what were you talking about before.
Christian, would you like to start this one?
Well, it all started before the ceremony even began. As I was waiting for my betrothed to walk down the aisle.
No, it's when I got to the end of the aisle. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Am I telling the story? So, I am obviously nervous. Hands are all clammy. Starting to get a little flushed. And I look and I see my bride coming down. And the first thing I think of is, oh my God, she's wearing white. Because she had convinced me, because she's just that strong.
I forgot about this.
Yeah. That she had purchased a purple and orange dress that,
quote, oh my God,
that quote reminded her of a boa constrictor skin.
No, I said the patterns in the lace look like snakes. It was really cool.
Okay. All right. So at first I was a little bit incredulous. But then I thought that this was all right. And when I asked her mother, are you okay with how the dress looks? She said, oh, yeah, it's fantastic colors. And so, colors? Yeah.
She was in on it.
She was completely in on
His
it.
His mother was in on it, too, and
yeah.
His sister.
Yeah. It oh was my God. Great. So I'm now shocked.
I didn't think he believed me.
I was gone. I was completely convinced. I was pleasantly surprised. You look lovely. But I was a little shocked, which was nice, considering that I was nervous to introduce something nice, new to the experience palette. So she gets up there, and our officiant, I can't remember. He didn't
it was
even
before.
Start.
No, he hadn't started.
He didn't even start. And I can't remember what prompted it.
I just remembered.
Particular question. Oh, you just remembered?
I just remembered.
She blurts out in the stillness of the the stillness of the room as people are quieting down, folding their hands in their laps, with attentive glare at the two of us, or the three of us rather, in the front of the room. And what they hear is from my wife, oh my God, I forgot my vows.
Vowels.
Did I say vowels?
You said vowels.
Really? That would be if me. So.
Also a problem.
Never forget your vowels. They're very important. At your wedding ceremony, never forget your vows. So, I at first. And it felt like I was being hit in the face with a dead cold fish of surprise, shock, and general awe of the fact that my project manager wife had completely forgotten her vows.
They were upstairs. I hadn't forgotten them. They were upstairs.
And then what ensued was the maid of honor running up to the preparation
the room, yeah, the room we got ready in.
Back and back down to get the vows, shoulder blocking and hip checking people on the way up and on the way down.
Oh, the drama.
He's gone. We're left in the front and we're just like sitting there twiddling our thumbs.
There's a great picture of the
oh yeah, it's great.
Of me laughing.
And at that point, this is the reasons why I will never forget it. One, because it means regardless of what Mila will say, it's a get out of jail for free. Card.
Not for life.
No.
Oh.
It's for life. Use. Now it starts the marriage. Yeah. You set it off on the right foot, dear. Mm. I have the card play.
He's wrong.
Okay. So the wonderful thing about that was that it kind of set the tone, at least for me. Mila had pointed out earlier that you can, you know, strive towards a perfect wedding, but the fact of the matter is, nothing's ever perfect. There's something that's going to go wrong or off what you plan for. something that's weird. And at that point, you can either get upset about it or just kind of roll with it. And I had already been nerved up before. And as soon as that happened, I was like, that is probably that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. I'm just going to roll with it.
People thought I did it on purpose.
Yeah. And then by the time we've heard people like, you did that on purpose. The whole thing was staged and it wasn't.
It probably doesn't help that the next words out of Matt's mouth were, marriage is what brings us together today.
Well, I will say, as a guest at the wedding, I was thinking about your wedding and what I remembered, and I remembered Legos, and I remembered dancing, and I'm singing, and photo booth, and this didn't even enter my mind. And then when you said something went wrong, I was like, oh, right, there was some sort of delay, but I don't remember what it was. So, yeah. Really, it felt like the worst thing, but as a guest, I mean,
I don't know. It was hilarious. Because... I'm only bothered more that he thinks it's for life, because I organized all of the wedding, and one thing I forgot, and it was upstairs.
That's what made it so
wonderful. And pockets. I had pockets in my dress. Your listeners get pockets.
Oh my God, I love pockets. When I shoot a wedding, I also always try to have pockets.
Yeah.
Put a little lens in there, whatever. So you started talking a little bit about your ceremony. So we talked about the sand ceremony involving the kiddos, mm-hmm. Some quotes from Princess Bride. Did you write the ceremony? Did your officiant write it with you? How did that all come about?
Oh my God, Matt had, like, we had a meeting like a couple months before, and he interviewed us basically. He had questions. And funnily enough, with our wedding, he had done 4 weddings and a funeral in like the last year or so, or over his course of being an officiant. So that was kind of fun.
He does funerals too, huh?
Well, he did one. It was for a friend. But he, so he basically interviewed us. Mm-hmm. We scared him a little.
And then made him laugh.
And then he wrote the ceremony, and then we reviewed it. And we wrote our own vows.
Which she forgot.
See? See?
For life.
For life.
Sucka, I shouldn't have forgotten one thing out of 8 million.
So do you want to talk about the
poem?
Really took us. I'll let him explain because I still don't understand it. He really took us and what we wanted into account when he wrote that ceremony. Go, Christian.
All right, this is where I go. I had spent after college some time in Japan, and during the conversation interview that we had with Matt, he picked up on that, and so he built in a Japanese poem into the vows.
Hmm.
And that's good. Yeah. It's more so called a koan. And the koan in this particular instance didn't have a direct meaning. You had to basically pull it out.
It's Buddhist, isn't it?
It's very Buddhist, yeah.
Yeah.
And I won't tell you what I can't remember exactly the phraseology.
Something about a shoe on a turtle.
And I immediately got it. Mila has yet to get it.
Yep, no.
And in looking back at it, in conversations that we had with the guests after the ceremony, it was pretty much straight down the middle that half the people got it, and half the people said, "What the WTF was that?" so that was something that we kind of, was a little unique.
But it was very personal and unique to us. It was.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've Googled it. Should I read it now? I don't know if it's the right one, but it's about a turtle.
Is it too? Okay. You might go for it.
A monk saw a turtle in the garden of Dai Zui's monastery and asked the teacher, "Why does this being cover its flesh and skin with bones?" Master Dai Zui took off one of his sandals and covered the turtle with it.
Yep, that's it.
And see, no, if you really wanted to experience what that was like, is at the end of the last sentence, there's a good solid, I'd say 10, 10 to 15 seconds pause that Matt and I had already talked about before the ceremony. It's like, and then I'm just not going to talk for 15 seconds. And I'm going to survey the crowd, see if anyone, you know, winks at me or looks at me like a, like I'm an idiot. And he did exactly that. Meanwhile, I'm giggling.
Well, also, Matt.
And Matt's, Emil's looking at me like I've lost my mind.
Yeah, I still don't know. But I think we were very lucky in Matt. He's a friend of mine from work. And he's a performer, but he's not. He doesn't go too far, and he's just got this excellent balance. So we very much lucked out with him. Because we were just sitting in a meeting and I'm like, who the heck am I going to get to officiate? Cause we're not really religious. We don't have any family saying you must do this. So, you know, and there were other people I knew who are justices of the peace, but I didn't feel a connection with them. So we're sitting in a meeting. I said, oh, I don't know who I'm going to get. And he says, hey, I officiate. I'm like, you want to do our wedding? So he was a good find, and he just, I don't think anyone could have done it the way he did. And I don't know if anyone else, it would have been a lot more serious, I think, with anyone else, not as fun and not quite as us.
It was very lighthearted. Yes, I liked it. Cheeky, going back to that word. I like how you said you had a connection with him, mm-hmm. or you were trying to find a connection in terms of your vendors. And I think you also, Christian, sort of had a connection with the winery, like you just felt something. Did you feel that way about all your vendors?
Yeah. Well, we were lucky once we got LaBelle. That was, you know, the first thing we did. And then they had a preferred vendor and they had a pretty good list. So starting from there, the next thing I did were photographers. And that was hugely important to me. And I looked at four, but again, it was talking to them. Do I have a connection? Some of them I could get onto the photography bent and they'd go off down that path, which is fine, except I wanted them to stay professional. You know what I mean? Because they were interviewing for that job and I'm like, well, okay. I like that conversation. But, and so this person, she also, you know, shoots the way I hope to shoot someday. She had a documentary feel and I leaned documentary. So it was, that was very important. And just making sure they got our vibe kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we didn't ask for anything ridiculous from anyone, but well, we did insist on the mashed potato bar.
Which was delicious.
Oh, I love mashed potato bar.
There were a lot of things you had, though. You had the unique centerpieces. You want to tell us a little about
centerpieces?
That?
Centerpieces? Oh, that was fun. So I was trying to find something to do, and I'm like, oh, I didn't want to do flowers. Partly I didn't want to spend the money on flowers. We only had the bouquets for the bridal party, some boutonnieres, and then two bouquets at the front, and that was it. Because I really liked the simplicity of the room. And I didn't want to pay for it because it seems like a waste. And then that's just me. Other people may want the flowers, but I didn't see the worth in it. So we're trying to figure out what to do. And I looked on Pinterest and I saw something with Legos in a bowl. And I'm like, that could be fun. And then I'm like, oh, we could have them build their own centerpieces. And then, you know, and then later it was like, oh, we can maybe do a contest to see who did the best one. And then I was like, well, I'm trying to find containers. I couldn't find containers I liked. And then I found these apples. I think from the container store. We have a whole bunch downstairs if your audience would like one.
like 15 of them.
But it also hid the Legos. So you couldn't see they were there. And it kind of fit the fall. And it kind of fit the kid friendly. Because they're actually pretty cool looking. They were pretty decent looking. And they didn't look cheap. I was a little worried about that when I ordered them. So, and that was fun. And people really got into the Legos and building things. And, you know, my nephew spent a long time, and my nephew was like 20 at the time.
I mean, I was into it. Yeah. I built like a bride and groom. We had buildings. We had a duck. We had all kinds of stuff going
on. Yes, I know the duck. Thank you, Anne Marie.
That's so funny. And then you mentioned bobblehead. Oh, were you going to say something else, Christian?
No, he...
There were llamas. Weren't there llamas?
There were llamas.
Llama keychains. We wanted, there's a place in Oregon that has llamas come to weddings and they dress them up as the bride and groom and they use that money to take them into like hospitals, like
Or, oh my God. Yeah. What?
We didn't see, I mean, granted we didn't look too hard, but llamas kind of became a theme. We got the maid of honor got us llama socks. We were joking with the woman who booked the hotel for us that we wanted to bring in a live llama, and she said it'd be fine on our personal floor. So llamas kind of became the theme. So
wait, really though?
Yeah, that's what she said. Of course, she left before we actually arrived. Though she's my Facebook friend now. It became a theme. So we were just looking for something on Amazon, and I'm like, hey, look, llama keychains. And they're actually pretty cool keychains. So, yeah.
Can you tell us what part that played in the wedding?
What, the llamas or the?
The llama keychains.
Yeah, oh, they were the prize for the table that Christian decided was the centerpiece.
I was bought off.
Yeah.
There was money in it.
Yeah, they had a $20 bill. But also, to be fair, that was also the table with the most kids.
Right, yes. No, I had to be okay with it because I'm a grown up.
Yes. I would have bought them for everyone, but those keychains were about $10 a pop, so.
It wasn't so much about the llamas as the pride, you know?
Yeah.
For a job well done. A centerpiece well made.
Speaking of table things, how many times have you gone to a wedding and you get a favor and you're like, what do I do with this? And you feel guilty about throwing it out, but you know, it's something you're not really going to use. So we did custom M&Ms. So I figured they're either going to eat them, and most people like M&Ms, and you could get the little package we got for about $2 a pop, which isn't that expensive.
Food is always a good choice. Very useful.
Yeah. So it's an idea to do something like that.
Yeah. Nice. There were a few other things you mentioned. The photo booth, the bobbleheads. There was also a singing performance.
Oh, yeah. You would know about that.
You forgot.
You want to talk about any of those? Because I can talk forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. I think that one of my favorite parts of the wedding was at the end. You can come in over the top on me to make sure it's right. Was at the end of the dancing and shindigs and yada yada. So it's time to kind of shut down the party. Mila has been involved in music since like forever, and she had been involved in numbers of singing groups through her collegiate and postgraduate life. And some of the individuals who she had invited were members of either of those groups.
Including Shayna.
Yes, I am.
I was a little bit tipsy at this particular point.
So were you?
I will take a little bit of it.
Yeah, when he got on the shuttle, he started screaming about a thing of Vaseline he found in the back, which was really weird.
That was weird.
Oh,
yeah. How gross. Often do you travel on a... Yeah, we're not...
Let's go back to the singing. Okay.
So, it was... it's the Irish farewell song.
Called Parting Glass.
Parting Glass, thank you. That people have heard before, but it was something that was very personal to Mila, as well as all the people there who were singing for a number of reasons. We won't go into it. But she also had her aunt join in. And on my side of the family, we have Irish relatives, and so the mother of my brother-in-law was able to join, and so they were in around and they sang Parting Glass, and it was just awesome. And it's not obviously something that you normally see at a wedding when you have not only members of the the bridal or groom's family, but friends up there along with the bride singing. It was extremely, for me, extremely touching. I don't think it's something I'll ever forget. And also that she was able to bring in not only those people that she had planned on singing, but also, you know, family and friends that knew the song and that were part of our world. It was a very, very moving end to a pretty crazy day.
Yeah, and that song I chose partly because you guys knew it already and I knew it'd be easy. But I mean, you know, Shane, and people quiet down when we sang that song when I was singing with you guys. It's people really pay attention to it and feel it. And like Christian said, my brother-in-law's mother was actually singing along and she toasted us at one point. And that's the only time in my life I've performed with my aunt, believe it or not. She sang in barbershop quartet or not quartets, but barbershop choirs for years. And she's a really good musician. And that's the only time we've ever performed together. So that was kind of nice.
Yeah. I think it's so special that, I don't know, you could incorporate that thing that you love. And it really did sound beautiful. And also, I'm very honored to be a part of what was Christian's favorite moment of the day. Mila, what was your favorite moment?
The ribbon tunnel.
Okay, so that's what came after, right? So it's a perfect segue.
Yeah, I mean, if you get a chance to go, I mean, just looking at it, and my parents went down it right before we did. And it was just so much fun. And we, you know, we chose like a white, you know, kind of a slight off white, but still whitish, not super bright, and a kind of a goldenrod. And then I was going to do red, but they didn't have red. So I ended up with a purple highlight color, and it was just so cool. And people were waving, and the sun had just come out cause it'd been drizzling a little all day. So that spinning in my, dress. And I'd have to say, the time when Aiden took my hand, cause Aiden's a little older, and he was older when his parents split. So sometimes there's a distance there. So that was a very unusual gesture. So that was kind of nice. And we actually have a picture of it because I did warn the photographer. I'm like, hey, I'm never in pictures. In fact, I was just arguing with Christian about this yesterday, Shayna.
An argument. Wait, about three. What? I don't remember speaking. It was all you. So it was
you're wrong.
I was getting a talking to.
You were getting, well, yeah, and you're wrong. Yeah. You're wrong. Anyway.
Luckily, I ignored it.
Yeah, he does. But so, yeah, I'd ask the photographers, like, look, I'm a photographer. I'm never in the story. Could you know? So they looked out for that.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I'm glad they caught all of those moments.
Yeah.
How did you, the ribbon tunnel, was there any, like, particular planning involved? You picked the different ribbons. Did you cut them all yourself? Like,
oh God, no. And again, we were lucky in that we had the budget to do this. We had some money, and my parents were helping us. So we were lucky. We didn't have to scrimp too much. Like, I didn't go overboard, but we didn't have to worry about doing things like that. So as much as I could, I avoided having to do anything myself. And I was still exhausted the Friday night before the wedding. So no, I bought those, and I bought those like 6 months ahead of time because I was trying to get as much. I was trying to preload again, project manager. So by June, I had a lot of the stuff done, which is good. Cause then we decided to buy a house, which that was a lot of work, but yeah. So, I bought them. You have to be careful cause some of those, they come made like that, but some of them have little bells on the end of the sticks. And I thought that would drive me crazy. So I didn't get those. And the impetus was really that LaBelle doesn't want you doing flower petals or yes, other tossy things. So these were things, and you know, they weren't going to make a big mess, and boy, it was fun.
And they matched your dress, your purple and yellow dress,
and that,
or whatever.
Purple and orange.
See, I thought he knew. I thought he was trying to call my bluff because okay, so we'll get to the bobbleheads. Because this will lead us to the bobbleheads.
Oh, this is a jump.
No, you'll see.
Okay.
So we had custom bobbleheads made that look like us. It's a pair. You can get them done on Etsy. And we didn't want to do the big cake, so we put them on a cake. So when we went to get the cake done, Christian said, oh, why don't we get it in purple and orange to match your dress. And I thought he was trying to call my bluff. I didn't realize he actually believed me. So that's why we had a purple ribbon at the bottom with orange leaves. But I didn't care. 6-inch cake. The bobbleheads were going.
Wait, wasn't the bobblehead bride wearing white, though?
She was.
Or was she wearing clothes?
She was wearing white.
Yeah, okay. That's
I wasn't thought. Naked.
Yeah. Well, no, I know. I thought you could have been in purple and orange if you'd wanted to take the ruse really far.
But yeah, like people would ask us, do we have colors? I'm like, no. Why do I don't need colors. And yeah. The only things that matched were the M&Ms and the ribbons. Because I needed colors for the M&Ms. So I'm like, oh, I'll match the ribbons. It was really who the hell cares, you know?
I like that a lot. I feel like that's something I don't hear people getting away from. And so that's cool. That's unique to be like, screw the colors. Like, we're just going to
have nice
details and little touches. And
we use the linens and the chairs that came with it. Yeah, minimal flowers. Again, I don't know if I would have been like this in my 20s. I'm in my 40s now. So maybe that may be part of it. But honestly, who remembers the cake? Unless it's like the super duper thing. Who remembers the cake? Who remembers the linens? Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's because you alluded to budget earlier. And I think that when it comes to budget, you're always going to prioritize. Uh-huh. Even if you have a huge budget, you still have to spend some on something and some on something else. So it sounds like, you know, you prioritize photography to some extent. You prioritize the venue that you wanted. But flowers were something that weren't as important. The cake wasn't as important. Maybe the linens, you know, custom linens or something. Yeah, were there other things that I'm forgetting that were high or were not high priorities for you?
Yeah, it was really just, and the only reason we got the two bouquets is because you needed something to kind of make the altar, I'm doing air quotes, look okay, but it didn't need a lot. And also, there was the wedding that everyone went to, but it was kind of a whole weekend because I'd planned an after party back at the hotel, just super casual because we had a morning wedding. And oh, by the way, the morning wedding was cheaper than doing an evening wedding in the off season, which I found interesting.
Do you feel like that changed the feel, or like, how do you feel about that?
Well, we were already thinking of a day wedding because of the kids. I didn't want the kids up late and, you know, having one of those things that goes to 11, everyone's getting drunk and weird.
and the kids are getting like drunkenly tired.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if that also helped with people sticking around, because I've seen so many receptions where they really start to thin out. But everyone stuck around to the end.
Yeah.
So I'd already planned this after party, and again, super casual, come or not, I don't care. You know, you're welcome. But we just had food and hors d'oeuvres, and we had a room, and just come and talk, and that's all I wanted for that after party, just because it was ending early in the day, and especially the people at the hotel needed someplace to go. But then Christian's parents decided, you know what, we're going to put some food out on Friday night. And it just kind of started that way. And people already started to mingle. We had our own floor on the hotel. So you weren't there for that. But like the family and stuff, so by the time we got to Saturday, they'd already been talking a little bit. And then we finished.
Everyone's comfortable.
Yeah. And then we finished out with breakfast again in that kind of lobby area on that floor. And it was just, so there was a lot of just mingling, casual stuff.
And you mentioned that people came from all over. So, you know, they're able to really spend the time together, and you got to enjoy everyone, it sounds like, which is awesome. Which was the whole point of why you had the wedding, is what you said. So it was a success. okay. I have a couple of final questions, which is advice related. But before we get to them, you know, anything that we're forgetting to mention, anything that you, I don't know, that surprised you about the process?
What surprised me was I took how exhausted I was on the Friday night before the wedding, because I preloaded a lot of stuff. So by June, a lot of it was done. And granted, we'd bought a house, but, you know, I took off from Wednesday forward. I got a massage Wednesday. I thought, okay, I'm going to be a little relaxed. I was exhausted by Friday night, even though I had, you know, preset all those things. So just be aware, you're going to be pooped. I mean, that's
true.
I don't know if Christian was, but then again, yeah. I think, I don't know. Were you tired Friday night?
Not to the extent that you were.
Okay.
I was more nervous.
Was it because there was so much planning or so much social interaction, or kind of what got you to that state? Emotional, you know, all of it, probably.
Yeah, I think it might have been a mix. I was surprised how much that last push took out of me, even though things were fairly well scheduled. Nothing was particularly stressful. I mean, well, there's the stress of doing it all, but like nothing really went wrong leading up to it. I think I was surprised by how tired you're going to be, and just accept that because it is what it is. And yeah. That's part of it, especially if you're having a decent sized wedding.
How big was your wedding?
It was 100 at one point exactly, which was really cool. But I think we ended up with 102.
Okay. So not the biggest, but decent size, big enough. Did you feel like you were able to see everyone and interact with everyone?
No.
Okay.
No.
Tell me more.
I can still recall not even eating any wedding cake.
Oh yeah, I forgot that. You never got wedding cake.
Yeah.
I got wedding cake.
My husband did not get, we didn't have cake, but we had like a dessert bar and he didn't have anything. And he is, that's his like past for life. He's still bitter about it. I'm like, you should have just gone and had some. Like, what was stopping you? I had
some.
Yeah,
that's what I did.
Sorry, Christian. No sympathy here.
I'm not looking for sympathy. I could just remember that it was such a crazy event that, and I didn't, and I was not upset about it. I remarked about it. because I'm being flagged down.
No, I just thought of something fun.
Oh boy. So I wasn't upset about it, but to your point, you know, did even with 102 guests, did we have enough time to converse with everyone? The answer definitely was no. That I feel bad about.
Would you change anything?
I think the only thing, if you know, obviously, if we could find some unicorn dust sprinkled over us to be able to go back and change things. I think that if we had maybe another, hour, maybe an hour and a half, I think I would have been able to, you know, see everyone, but maybe not. Maybe it's just one of those kind of things that when you have your wedding, you get to a point where it's terrible to sound, but it's not seeing everyone. It's rather enjoying the time with the person whom you're marrying, because this is the day that you too will remember for the rest of your life. God bless those guests that you have invited, but candidly, they probably won't remember it, you know, as long as you will. So coming back to your question on would I change anything, you know, if I was to throw anything out there, it would be maybe a little bit longer party.
How long did you have?
Ours was actually a little
short. People who are like, oh, how long do I need?
Yeah, well, no, ours was a little shorter than normal, I think, because we had the morning wedding and we had to get out for an evening wedding so they could prepare. So I'm trying to remember. So the wedding was at 10. Cocktail hour, 10:30, 11:30. So we came in about 11:30 to 2:30, something like that.
Yeah.
We had to be out by 2:45.
Three and a half-ish, 3 to 4 hours.
I mean, I think it's
just in case people are listening and saying,
Oh, but something else that went wrong is I told the DJ we're going to have swing music and people, and like that was not working at all. And this is a place where just you got to go with it because the crowd was not responding. So they just switched things up, but they were good. And they kind of did that on their own. They read the crowd. Also, they got our vibe. They were pretty awesome. We had some great discussions with them ahead of time. And like when we walked into the reception, we didn't do the whole, again, we cut that out. Not everyone needs to walk in. It's our day. Just look at us. But when we were introduced, we walked into the Imperial March from Star Wars. That was fun. And our DJ loved that. I loved walking in.
I like. Yeah, I think that kind of speaks to like the connection that you said. Like they get who you are and what you're going for, and they're not, you know, at all like, oh, that's odd. They're like, oh my God, that's awesome. Like I love that. I think that's a good sign you found the right person.
You wanted us to use lightsabers, like to come in under lightsabers, but I figured that would give it away. So I just wanted to be, ladies and gentlemen, blah, blah, blah. Dun, 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 dun.
So funny. And you're right, you know, the guests don't remember it exactly like you did, so I think you're right that not that it's selfish, but that it's like just, you know, do what you need to do to have the best time, and everything else is sort of forgivable or just not that big a deal. Okay, so our final portion. So maybe I can add a little music there. So I want to end with two pieces of advice. So the first, the kitty has some advice. So the first is, you know, wedding planning advice. So what sort of wisdom have you learned that you would impart to people in this process? And the second is relationship advice. So obviously the wedding is what we're talking about, but we don't want to lose sight of the fact that the marriage is the really important thing here. So I would love to hear from each of you just something you learned from the wedding planning process, and then maybe your pro tips on how to have a super awesome relationship.
So I'm gonna let you go first.
Wow. So is this like so we answer this in both parts and then the other person does?
Yes.
All right. So in regards to the wedding planning, it may sound entirely trite, but here's the thing, is that when you decide to get married, give yourself enough time to plan, and plan so that that you ease into the wedding, you don't go sliding into the wedding with your hair on fire. And in that, you know, whatever time that you need is going to vary from couple to couple. And alongside of that, with giving yourself enough time, is more so for the gents. And for the gents, the recommendation is this. We all know that our sweet baboos will probably take over a lot of the planning and what they want from the wedding.
Take over?
I will say, well, what? You are not, you're not supposed to be talking.
Can't wait for that relationship to buzz.
Never say this. but the brides will typically want to have a more say in the wedding than the guys will. Shushy, you are not allowed. Heavy sighing also counts as talking.
Just assuming this is a male female couple. Just want to.
Oh, good point.
Ooh, in those circumstances, it is so important to stay talking with your partner throughout the process. I can admit that there were times when I fell down on that particular point, which I feel bad about, that I didn't express, at least saying, how are things going? You know, talk to me about how things are going. You know, is there anything that I can do to help? Blah, 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 blah. I didn't do that enough. I did some, but not enough. And that was something that I would recommend to others, making sure that when you're planning for the wedding, that it's, there's a lot of communication and consistent. So moving on to the second part, what would I recommend as the keys to a long?
Well, she didn't say long.
Knowing you've been in a relationship for a long time, but married for 5 months now. Yeah, is there any sort of relationship wisdom you'd like to
impart? Be very, very careful and cautious. If
may not want to finish this.
If your soon to be betrothed is strong willed, because it makes things prickly.
I don't think that's helpful.
Some things, okay. I think that the key.
So, yeah, how do you keep it harmonious then?
Yeah. Tell me how do you keep it harmonious.
I think that one of the keys is just talking. Doesn't matter about anything particular, just hearing about each other's day. Just talking and being together. It sounds really kind of cheesy, but it's true that you have that undercurrent.
That's so true.
Of a connection that you never want to be able, you never want to lose. And I think the other is more so, actually, this could be both a relationship recommendation, but also has ties back to the wedding planning, is make sure that you marry the person who gets you. You have to have that ability to feel more like yourself with your partner than with anyone else, maybe even more so yourself than you are when you're alone. That is so, so key, because as long as you have that, and recognizing that some of the differences that you will inevitably have, if you can just look at them and say, she's different than me in this way or that way, and not have that way, this way or that way kind of cause you to go, eh! That is so huge. So, sorry, I didn't have anything quotable, but I'll pass it up.
No, I like that. So just being with someone who you know understands you, so that when differences do arise, you sort of have that core of like knowing you can be ruthlessly yourself and you'll work it out. And it's totally quotable or revisable.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, I'll push it over to the big sire.
Like sire, like a king.
No, more like S-I-E.
Yeah, no.
I like her take.
Yeah, well.
So, wedding advice, what I learned from the wedding. It's kind of hard for me to say since I am a project manager, and I approached it like a project. It actually was kind of simpler than my projects. But it is a long haul. And if you can preload some of it, don't buy a house 3 months before you get married.
That is sad advice.
But it seems like a lot of people I know have done that.
Yeah, they do.
And I didn't really learn this, but really the advice is do what you feel is you. Christian's making hand signals at me that I don't understand. Oh, he's getting some water. He was not making hand signals for water. Do what's you and what feels true to you as a couple. I feel bad for people who are pressured by family. We didn't have that. But it's so much nicer when it's you and the way you've planned it fits the way you are. And that.
Yeah, I think that.
Yeah, that's all I really got to say on that. So you can talk.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like the whole reason that I started this podcast. So I love that you said it. And I think that you're right. You are lucky that your family was so supportive. And maybe that does have to do with getting married a little bit older, that they sort of respect you as your own entity and also having a strong personality. Like they sort of are used to, you know, respecting that you have the assertiveness to know what you want. And I think that like for me, I got married at 23 and I didn't have as much of that as I hopefully do now. And so I think, you know, but it can be cultivated over time. I really do believe.
Absolutely.
So. And maybe a wedding is an opportunity.
And maybe take a look at what everyone's saying you have to do, like, you know, colored linens and like, is that what are you going to remember that? Is that going to be important to you later? And again, at a certain point, you may not know. When you're a jaded older woman like me, you know, you have more opinions on that. But it's something to think about. Like when I look back at pictures, and am I going to be worried what color the linens are? And if you are, that's your thing. But yeah, you got to know yourself, man. Power to the people.
Power to the people. So any relationship advice for us before we wrap it up?
I'm always right. Yeah, that's
okay. That's a good one.
No, I think it's really, you got to work together. You have to be able to depend on your partner, and open up to them, I think, and let them know what's really going on. Because if you don't, you know, they may be frustrated with something and you have no idea, or they don't know you're frustrated with something. And I think don't make assumptions about their experience of things. And of course, I'm kind of getting into my sociological thing here. I mean, it happens anything from, you know, from Kristen's going to kill me for saying this, but like white privilege. Yeah, white privilege, where people, you know, will sometimes, you know, tell people of color that they don't know what they're talking about when they're describing their experiences in life. And I think that can go into marriage in a more subtle way. Because I think we've gone through this where we've lived through some things, and granted, we've been in a relationship for longer than the marriage, but not assume when someone tells you what they're experiencing, kind of feeling what that really is and understanding that's their experience, and not always having to go through it yourself to understand it. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's kind of respecting their experience of things and trying to understand where they made, like if you're irritated about something, and I think, again, this is common, you know, is it about you really? Are they irritated at you? You know, and try to get them to tell you what's going on, and don't make me guess. Yeah,
and I think, you know, you're choosing to go through life together. You've chosen to have similar experiences in terms of what comes at you, but your internal experience exactly. can be very different. And so I think that is, yeah, it's important to recognize, and it can change over time too, which is what makes marriage so
interesting,
complicated and interesting yeah. and, you know, rich and so rife with growth opportunities. That's how I like to look at challenges.
Growth opportunities. I like that.
I like that one. I'm feeling that one.
But it's not...
Marriage.
But I'm not the one giving advice here.
You just did.
maybe that's another episode. all right. Well,
so how'd we do for your first couple? What lessons have you learned?
Oh. Well, hold on. Let me talk you out and then we'll get to that. So thank you so much, Mila and Christian, for taking the time to talk through your wedding and all the fabulous details and the priorities. It truly was a wonderful day. I'm so happy I got to be a guest, and I hope that everyone learned a lot through your experience.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.